Previously on the Baker's Dozen podcast.
While most know the star of the show and co-creator Aziz Ansari from his role as Tom Haverford on Parks and Rec, this is his best work to date. Simply put, season 2 of The Leftovers was the best thing on television in all of 2015. Back in September of 2016, I recommended three TV shows and a variety of streaming platforms that you should check out. FX's You're the Worst, Netflix's Master of None, and HBO's The Leftovers. Easily three of the top offerings from all of television in 2016 and this past decade. Nowadays, streaming services like Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go, Amazon, and countless others have completely changed the game for how we view a large portion of our TV. Frankly, you have more control than ever to watch what you want, with prices more affordable to the average consumer. And not only can you find past favorites like Seinfeld, The Wire, Arrested Development, Sons of Anarchy, Lost, Doctor Who, Buffy, Friends, and many, many more favorites online. There's also an ever-growing market of original content available as well, from all over the world. Add to this original content, current network shows and cable shows that drop their seasons on these services, and you can pretty much watch any show that you want to at your own time and pace. No wonder people seem to be going to movies less and less. My name is River City Clement, and welcome to our latest in a limited series, 10 Minute Parking, and our third pop-up episode of this summer. The format for these episodes are simple. We have 10 minutes, just about exactly, to discuss and debate a topic and come to a decision. And today, we're going to do just that. I'm going to recommend three TV shows I think you should watch across different platforms and different genres, and ultimately, let you decide what you want to watch. And if you don't have all of these services, fear not, as we're likely to peg one that you do have, or one that's more than worth purchasing for just this show, or countless others. And some of us own just about all of them, for better or worse, for our wallets. So let's drop in a few coins and get the meter running on this latest episode of 10 Minute Parking, our latest pop-up episode this summer, right here at the Baker's Dozen Podcast. Our first recommended show can be found on Netflix, Glow.
There's an audition. They're looking for unconventional women, whatever that means.
Hello, ladies. I'm Sam Sylvia, and this is Glow.
Sorry, what's Glow?
Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Netflix had a stacked start to the summer for its loyal subscribers with seasons 5 of House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, the second season of Master of None, and other favorites dropped like Bloodline, Flaked, okay, maybe that's just me, and Sense8. But perhaps the best offering of this entire summer, which is really saying something when you assess just how great Master of None's recent season was, features the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, also known as Glow. For many, it's easy to dismiss it solely on its premise or even its poster. But a look at the professional and personal lives of a group of women who perform for a wrestling organization in Los Angeles, it might just be the best show of the summer. I mean, I'd be surprised if halfway through watching the trailer on YouTube, you weren't already queuing the show up on Netflix. And with 10 episodes, around an hour in length for each episode, it's an easy binge watch, which is perfect for the Netflix fans model. Glow sports an 81% score on Metacritic, 96% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and boasts an impressive 8.2 user rating on IMDb. In fact, the show can legitimately stand up this summer among the top viewings and is nearly unmatched in the recent offerings from Netflix. Headlined by Alison Brie, for many, most know her as Annie on Community, the show perfectly fits the mold of the feel-good hit of the summer. I personally enjoyed that it lived well in its setting, 1980s Los Angeles, but had a large cast of diverse yet strangely endearing characters, a lot of actresses you just haven't seen before. But there's also enough legitimacy, you can tell they got people in the wrestling business involved, that the show fits within its own skin. And my personal favorite was a podcasting legend, Mark Maron, who plays the dirtbag B-movie director and producer Sam Sylvia. He's just a perfect voice for the show, outside of the ladies of wrestling. A show with this much heart and humor, that's able to play on both gender and race roles, it's a must-watch and a perfect addition to the Netflix family.
We're empowered. We're the heroes.
You want the show to happen.
This is the only place I get to do what I want to do.
People respect me here.
We got to shoot this thing in like 5 weeks.
This could either feel dinky or it could feel epic. So let's give them what?
Blood. Tits.
Storytelling. Storytelling.
Our second recommendation is Gap Year. On Hulu, and originally airing on the UK's E4.
That's the joy of it. It's all about taking a chance on people, on places, and seeing what happens, giving it a go, and to hell with the risk.
Turn myself into a kind of Fonzie figure for you guys.
What, the Muppets?
No, that's Fozzie. This is Fonzie.
You know, if you're going to get a recommendation out of me, one of them has to be a little off the beaten path. You can see that for Sundance's Deutschland 83 from two summers ago, but if you watched it, look, I know you loved it. This summer had me jumping across the pond again via Hulu to Series 4's Gap Year. Series 4, kind of like a better version of the CW, geared towards 16 to 34-year-old target audiences in the UK, and Hulu brought it over. And it was a great idea. Look, you're not going to find a ton of information on this show outside of a few press releases and a few loyal fans pining for more of it. And you can count me in as part of the latter, please. The paths of disparate groups of strangers collide when backpacking in Asia. It's your typical coming-of-age story through voyage and self-discovery, which can often be marred by what goes wrong more often than what goes right. There's a few pop-ups from notable actors and actresses, but honestly, the cast is relatively unknown, and it works for this movie. The show scratches more than a few itches for its viewers, trust me. It has plenty of raunchy humor, more than enough relationship drama, but it's also beautifully shot and allows you to view a large portion of the world that's relatively unknown to most viewers, including yours truly, who really haven't ventured anywhere in Asia. It's a show that I believe can appeal to teens just as easily as millennials and people in their mid-30s like me. Look, you're going to recognize a member of the cast or two, but I think it's a strong asset for the show that you sort of grow with these characters that you haven't seen performed anywhere before. It's key to its overall enjoyment. The concept of a gap year, taking a year off in between high school and college or within college, whatever that is to you, traveling abroad, whether with friends or relative strangers, it can be a disorienting yet ultimately endearing experience. Look, if you haven't done it, I think the show gives a good glimpse into egos that clash, relationships that inevitably emerge and submerge, and both the amusing and sometimes appalling locals that you meet along the way when you're traveling in a foreign land. The humor gets plenty raunchy, but it also toes the line of not falling into sloppy writing that's only intent on TNA and cheap one-liners. By the 8th episode, which may ultimately be the last episode of this series, you're totally sucked into the lives of these characters and you're dying to know what's next. Nothing about this show is not unique. And while these answers may never truly come, that makes for great standalone television, doesn't it?
By a stroke of very good fortune, guess what tonight is? Yeah, you guessed it, it's the full moon party!
No way!
Yes, Sean, mate!
Isn't that where people have orgies and get shot and stuff?
Yes, exactly, it's mental!
God, I cannot wait! I could really use a break from my novel.
You've written 3 pages.
Yeah, on a laptop, but that's at least 10 on a Kindle.
Wow.
I think I've earned the right to just kick back, relax, and
abuse some substances.
Uh-oh, looks like we're going to be about 2 minutes over. Let's drop in a few more coins, because we got a few things left to say, and we got to fit it in. Our third and final show is NBC's The Good Place, which can be found on Hulu or wherever NBC streams its content.
You, Eleanor Shellstrop, are dead.
Cool. How did I die?
Are you sure you want to hear? You were struck by a truck advertising an erectile dysfunction pill called Engorgulate. Funnily enough, the first EMT to arrive was an ex-boyfriend of yours.
Okay, I get it. Thank you.
You're okay, Eleanor. You're in the good place.
Man, it seems a long time since NBC's mid-90s stacked must-see Thursday comedy lineup. In fact, a block with Community, The Office, 30 Rock, Parks and Rec, even that seems long gone when most schedules are unloaded. Fortunately, I think NBC is starting to turn the corner. Not with retreads like Will and Grace, but with smart comedies built on solid, if sometimes not immediately recognizable casts. Shows like Superstore and Great News, two examples that easily could have made this list. Perhaps the best example of that, though, was last year's The Good Place, starring Kristen Bell and Ted Danson. Wisely sticking to a more streaming-friendly 13-episode format, I was really able to enjoy this quickly on Hulu, and you can find it there or anywhere that NBC shares their content. The Good Place logs an impressive 78% score on Metacritic, 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a strong 7.7 rating on IMDb. The show sees a New Jersey woman enter the afterlife while trying to become a better person and make amends for past bad behavior. The premise is what sold many on the show, but admittedly, it made me hesitate slightly. Fortunately, some free time opened up, the perk of being a teacher during the summer, and I gave it a shot. And what ensued was a show with a premise that I immediately bought into 5 minutes into the first episode, all the way to a brilliant season finale. It's weird to talk about the end of a show first, but it was among the best season finales I've seen in years. It was creative, it was daring, it was original, and it made the second season have an incredibly new set of stakes that I was immediately going to be invested in. I almost forgot this was a network sitcom. And while this concept may seem quirky to some, perhaps absurd, the idea of a comedy based in the afterlife, hey, that's not what matters. What matters is that this show is packed with a ton of jokes and a supporting cast, like so many shows on NBC that have been great, like a Parks and Rec, like a 30 Rock, in which those side characters can stand tall alongside a perfectly ensembled cast. And headlining it with Bell and Danson, it was a great idea. This show is funny, this show is a quick watch, and I'm ecstatic for season 2 already.
You're a nice person, Anaconda.
Anagonye.
Agonogomo.
Anagonye.
Say it again.
Anagonye.
No, say what you said before.
I did.
You just changed it.
I didn't change it. It's my name.
Grande. Ariana Grande. I did it!
In the end, the show that you pick will be the one that most fits your viewing preferences. Netflix fans will easily enjoy Glow due to its talented, varied cast and a perfect blend of nostalgia and character-driven drama. If you want something that blends traveling abroad with raunchy, smart humor, Hulu and Series 4's Gap Year is a perfect option. If you're looking for a quirky, innovative comedy that can be found on network television, which is seemingly devoid of the must-see comedy these days, NBC's The Good Place, right there on Hulu, it's a perfect fit. Honestly, though, I think all three are going to be enjoyable for you to check out, especially considering their relatively short length and that it's so easy to access all of them on multiple platforms. And those who decide to take on the Herculean task of catching all these shows, well, to the victor goes the spoils.
I'd like to read a poem. Janet, my digital queen. Janet, we can dare to dream. Send nude pics of your heart to me.
Jacksonville Jaguars rule!
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode of 10 Minute Parking, our third pop-up episode of the summer, right here at the Baker's Dozen Podcast. You know we'll be back soon. What the topic's going to be, that remains to be seen. But I truly appreciate all the support that you've given us, especially in these return episodes. Check out the info for this episode to connect with us all over social media, and you can still subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts. iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, we're there. Maybe you can drop a few recommendations of your own as well for people to check out this summer, regardless of the platform. But with the meter running out, we're already a few minutes over. Well, it's only one thing left to ask. Hey, Billy, which way do we get to the ocean?
I can't believe you thought you could pretend to be real Eleanor. She's like a perfect ball of light, and you're like a wet pile of mulch. Someone made a person out of wet mulch and leaves and, like, dead slugs, and that's you.